The pyre was a ditch 50 yards long, 6 yards wide, and 3 yards deep. A welter of burning bodies. SS soldiers, stationed at 5-yard intervals along the pathway side of the ditch, awaited their victims. They were holding small caliber arms, 6 millimeters, used in the cat set for administering a bullet in the back of the neck. At the end of the pathway, 2 Sonderkommando men seized the victims by the arms and dragged them for 15 to 20 yards into position before the SS. Their cries of terror covered the sound of the shots. A shot, then, immediately afterwards, even before he was dead, the victim was hurled into the flames. 50 yards farther on, a scene similar in all respects was being enacted. Oberscharführer Moll was in charge of these butchers. As a doctor and as an eyewitness, I swear that he was the Third Reich's most abject, diabolic, and hardened assassin. Even Dr. Mengele showed from time to time that he was human. During the selections at the unloading ramp, when he noticed a healthy young woman who, above all, wanted to join her mother in the left-hand column, he snarled at her coarsely, but ordered her to regain the right-hand group. Even the ace shot of the number one crematorium, Oberscharführer Mussfeld, fired a second shot into anyone whom the first shot had not killed outright. Oberscharführer Moll wasted no time over such trifles. Here the majority of the men were thrown alive into the flames. Woe to any Sonderkommando by whose action the living chain, which extended from cloakroom to pyre, was broken, with the result that one of the members of the firing squad was forced to wait for a few seconds before receiving his new victim. Moll was everywhere at once. He made his way tirelessly from one pyre to the next, to the cloakroom and back again. Most of the time, the deportees allowed themselves to be led without resistance. So paralyzed were they with fright and terror that they no longer realized what was about to happen to them. The majority of the elderly and the children reacted in this way. There were, however, a goodly number of adolescents among those brought here who instinctively tried to resist with a strength born of despair. If Moll happened to witness such a scene, he took his gun from his holster. A shot, a bullet often fired from a distance of 40 to 50 yards, and the struggling person fell dead in the arms of the Sonderkommando, who was dragging him toward the pyre. Moll was an ace shot. His bullets often pierced the arms of the Sonderkommando men from one side to the other when he was dissatisfied with their work. In such cases, he inevitably aimed for the arms, without otherwise manifesting his dissatisfaction, but also without giving any previous warning. When the two pyres were operating simultaneously, the output varied from 5,000 to 6,000 dead a day, slightly better than the crematoriums. But here, death was 1,000 times more terrible. For here one died twice. First by the bullet in the back of the neck, then by fire. After death by gas, by chloroform injections, and a bullet in the back of the neck. I had now made my acquaintance with this fourth combined method. I gathered up the medicines and glasses left behind by the victims. Dazed, my knees still trembling with emotion, I started for home, that is, for number one crematorium, which, to quote Dr. Mengele himself, was no sanatorium, but a place where one could live in a pretty decent way. After having seen the pyres, I was inclined to agree with him. Once home, I entered the room, but instead of arranging the medicines and spectacles, I took a sedative and went to bed. Today's dose was 30 centigrams. Sufficient, I hoped, to counteract the effects of funeral pyre sickness. Each one so precious, each one so precious. Think of the people in our lives. Power would look at our alleged defining boxes and proclaim the fire for us. Bob, a construction worker at a job site, me, the same, and a black woman besides. And into the fire we would go. And yet, for my individual story and for you, for yours, it is the same. Bob, T, Nanji, are sine qua nons for me, for you and yours, the same. How dare these guys pretend they see the depths of you, the depths of me, when we, each one, are infinite. They want it to be them. This is something I'm seeing more clearly now, with Miklos's and Karl Popper's help, as I'm typing up chapter 18 of Miklos. It was a contradiction I noted in waking up, when I asked, how can a way of seeing the world based on mind worship be so determined to dumb us down? They want it to be them. They want to be proclaimed not just the winners, but the smart ones, as Jim Wicknack did when they beat him to the ground and took his business. Like children, no. Like the abandoned child they are, they stack the deck. They rig the rules and stride about with chests out thrust, these sick, sad children of abandonment. This land is your land. This land is my land. This body's my land. Your bodies, your land, an earth oasis we live in freely. We're born for freedom. There's no stakes in us. This land is shared humanity. Until next week, peace.